What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the program. We've been talking about the state of the economy and what's been coming down the pipe for quite some time here on the podcast, even though there has been a lot of pushback from the establishment, a lot of people who have skin in the game and who want there not to be a recession have been out here pumping a bunch of BS telling you, there's no recession, there's not going to be one, that's just crazy talk. Meanwhile, now, a few months later, after I already said we were smack dab in a recession, all of these Johnny-come-latelys, all of these outlets, the legacy media, now they're starting to talk about how the whole world's in a recession. Well, yes, stupid. Instead of carrying water for the powers that be, instead of trying to whitewash how bad situations are, it is your job as the legacy media to give us the unfiltered truth. Sure, there's time for opinion, but guess what? There's time for hard news, too. And that is something that we are certainly lacking as a society. Way too much bullshit, way too many activist journalists, and not enough truth tellers. Hopefully, moving forward in the future, these outlets and these stations understand this. There is a huge segment of the population that has had enough of the political infighting by the two tribes. It's basically like watching wrestling. They get out there, they act like they don't like each other, then behind the scenes, they're all yucking it up while they have you hating your neighbor. And meanwhile, while all of this is going on, there's this rosy perspective that they're trying to give us about how the economy is going to have a soft landing and how inflation's transitory. And all of that stuff is harmful to people's lives because people believe that. And then they don't properly prepare for what's coming. And then when people are caught off guard, they're looking around for answers like, well, why didn't anyone tell me? Well, people have been telling you. You have to get out of your echo chamber, though. You have to be willing to listen to other voices, even some you might not agree with. I read so much news that it would make your head spin from all kinds of outlets. And that's how I decide what I believe and what I think is true. Because you can't just take it from one outlet and think that's the whole story. For me, I use these articles and news stories as a doorway for me to look at the issue myself and to get to the bottom of it. Because you can't rely on these people in the media to shoot you straight. All you have to do is take a look at what's going on right now as we speak and then go back and listen to what they were telling you a mere few months ago. All in hopes that they wouldn't ruin their chances of the election. And it doesn't matter what party's in power, they all do the same thing. It's all about them hanging on to power, consolidating power. It's not about you having a better life or your life being easier or your trip to the grocery store being cheaper. You really think they care about that? Any of them? They do not. Write them a letter and ask them to pay your rent and see how that works out for you. I wrote letters to three presidents now, trying to get charges from one of my loved ones expunged. I haven't even gotten a reply from a staffer, okay? They don't care about you. None of these politicians do. Oh, every 4 years they'll make pretend they do. But what you really need to do is listen to what they say and then see what they do. Because it never matches up, right? They never do what they say they're going to do. And when it comes to the economy, the whole whitewashing of what's going on right now is almost criminal in my opinion. We have so many problems around the world that are crashing into each other at the same time, creating a perfect economic storm. With the war in Iraq, the pandemic, I know, Joe Biden says it's over, so I guess it's over, but there's still people dying from it, there's still after effects of it. So we have that, we have the war in Ukraine, we have a hyperinflated economy, we have food that's through the roof, we have gas that's going back up, and you mean to tell me we're going to have a soft landing? Talk about preposterous and absurd. And to think that people actually believe that, I honestly don't know what to say. I would much rather listen to a guy like Michael Burry than listen to the Fed any day of the week. And Michael Burry has been telling us this for literally months now. And when I say I've been saying it, it's because I follow guys like Michael Burry. I'm certainly not some kind of economic whiz, but Michael Burry sure is. And everything he has talked about throughout history, basically, has tracked. So why wouldn't I follow a guy like that, as opposed to following the Fed that has made a complete mockery of everything they've ever touched? Today, we have an article from Bloomberg. Headline, World Economy Jolted by War with Recessions, Now Seen Looming. Oh, now seen looming, huh? You didn't see them before? Isn't it your job to see them looming? Over at places like, you know, Bloomberg or CNBC or, I don't know, somebody who's in charge of that kind of thing. If my dumb ass can see it coming and was preparing for it, I don't know how you people didn't see it unless it was willful blindness. This article was authored by Zoe Sheenweiss. The world as a whole has been jolted by the war in Ukraine, according to the OECD, which cut almost all growth forecasts for the group of 20 next year while anticipating further interest rate hikes, too. Look, it's not just America either. Europe is being pressed hard here. And I've received a lot of emails from my European listeners talking about it, how people are fearful about this winter and how they're going to heat their homes, where the heat's going to come from, where the gas is coming from. And there's even been a run on like firewood in some places. So there's a big problem coming, folks, and we're just at the very beginning of it. Remember, I talked about how September would be the opening of the door and then the floodgates would probably open up in the winter. And I meant economically and all of these perfect storms converging at once. It's just going to be a bad scene. The global economy will expand just 2.2% in 2023, the Paris-based organization said Monday. The new projection for the year means output will be $2.8 trillion less than officials had predicted at the end of 2021. $2.8 trillion. It's a lot of money. The OECD / GDP forecast for most of the G20, with only Indonesia featuring a moderately higher outlook. Many of the groups faced noticeably faster inflation, too. Wait a minute, how's that possible? Everybody on the legacy media and all these people running around on TV are telling me that inflation's over and that it's cooling down and that everything's going to get cheaper soon. Well, soon's going to come before later, and they're going to have to answer for their BS because I'm going to be right here calling them out for their nonsense. They should just be honest with us and let us know that there's going to be significant pain on the way. The global economy has been hit, the OECD said, in interim forecasts. The world, and Europe in particular, is bearing the cost of the war in Ukraine, and many economies face a difficult winter. Can I ask a question, please? What is the end goal in Ukraine for the West? I mean, obviously, to bust up Ivan and expel them from the borders of Ukraine. But how far is the West willing to go to see this become a reality? And is the West willing to suffer the pain that is on the way? I guess we're going to find that out when it gets real cold over in Europe soon. The outlook provides a snapshot of the synchronized shock stemming from Russia's attack on Ukraine and the ensuing energy crunch that has inflicted a widespread cost of living crisis. You notice they don't even talk about the pandemic anymore? Before, it was the pandemics causing all kinds of supply chain crunch and this and that and that and this and this. Now it's Ukraine. Everything has to have a problem, right? All of the reasons why they're failing, they have to have something they can point to and say, oh, well, this is why we're failing, because of Ukraine, or because of the pandemic. Well, breaking news, you were elected to fix it. So fix it, or get out of the way and let somebody who can fix it do the job. Global central banks have delivered rate hikes this month, adding up to more than 2,000 basis points, combining to fight soaring consumer prices. That's not yet enough, according to the OECD officials. So you're not getting pain enough. That's what they're saying. Every time these rate hikes go up, that means more pain for you. Higher credit card bills, higher mortgages. Anytime you need a loan, you're looking at higher rates now. Inflation has become broad-based in many economies, they said in the report. Further interest rate increases are needed in most major economies to anchor inflation expectations and ensure that inflation pressures are reduced durably. Yeah, I'm sure that's just what the markets in America want to hear and talk about. Some more rate hikes. Yeah, they're all pining for that. The growth hit is particularly visible in Europe. The OECD now expects Germany, the region's biggest economy, to contract by 0.7% next year. That's a significant contraction for Germany, who, like they say here, is the standard over in Europe for production and manufacturing. So this is a significant outlier. If Germany's getting cracked like this, other countries in Europe are going to get pounded. In Europe, many economies are likely to have, at best, weak growth in the second half of 2022 and the first quarter of 2023, before some improvement through the remainder of 2023. According to the report, I have my doubts about that as well. So what if the war in Ukraine continues to drag out? What if this becomes a long proxy war that is urbanized and there's house-to-house fighting and all the rest of it? That's not going to affect the forecast moving forward, so all of a sudden the economies are just going to snap back out of it? I thought Ukraine and the war in Ukraine was the big problem. So until that issue is fixed, how is this going to end? Officials predict near-term output declines in Germany, Italy, the UK, and the aggregate euro area, given the drag exerted by declining real incomes and the disruptions in energy markets. The OECD highlighted the significant uncertainty surrounding its projections, which assumes the absence of further COVID waves, no escalation or broadening of the war in Ukraine, and a calming down of energy market pressures. Those are a lot of assumptions. Don't you think? Considering they haven't been right about anything leading up to this, they sure have a lot of assumptions about what's going down. EU gas storage levels have been raised considerably through the course of this year and are now between 80 to 90% on average in most member states, the OECD said. Even at this level, there may not be sufficient storage to ensure the demand in a typical winter can be met without storage levels in European gas markets being pushed below effective operational levels. The whole entire thing is effed, folks. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's gonna get rough. And for my folks over in Europe, it's going to be batting down the hatches time soon. More severe fuel shortages, especially for gas, could reduce growth in Europe by a further 1.25 percentage points in 2023 and raise inflation by over 1.5 percentage points, the OECD said, pushing many countries into a full-year recession in 2023. And European growth would also be weakened in 2024. Hate to tell you, but we're in the recession already. Two negative quarters equals a recession, okay? Don't play word games with me, don't use word salad, and don't try to gaslight me. The report also showed in China, growth will slow to 3.2% this year amid repeated COVID-19 shutdowns and a crisis in the property market. But policy support could help growth recover in 2023, the OECD said. The U.S. economy will grow just half a percent next fiscal year, and support is required to help cushion the impact of high energy costs on households and companies. So in other words, expect pain. That's what they're telling you. Your bills are going to be more expensive. It's going to be more expensive to heat your home, cook your food, and all of the basic necessities that you need are going to become even more burdensome now. But it must be temporary. Concentrated on the most vulnerable, preserve incentives to reduce energy consumption, and be withdrawn as energy price pressures wane. Food security remains under threat because of the war, and international cooperation is required to keep agricultural markets open, address emergency needs, and strengthen supply demand. So, look, this is a situation that is not going away, and it's a perfect storm. We can talk from now until the cows come home about who's responsible for what's going on over in Ukraine. But for me, the response to it has been less than ideal. We are not prepared. We were not prepared logistically for this. If you know that Russia is a big problem, why don't you have a massive reserve of oil, food, and the rest of it on hand? Who the hell goes to war without having a logistical plan in place? Well, I guess the West does. Now, we're going to see a lot more of this. Food shortages, famine, And as I posted in an episode yesterday, as the diesel fuel price rises, you're going to even see more fuel shortages because it costs more to bring food to market. So all of this has a domino effect, folks, and we're just in the beginning stages. But I want you to remember all of these people who told you about soft landings and transitory inflation, and then say to yourself, why should I listen to them moving forward? If you'd like to contact me, you can do that at bobbycappucci@protonmail.com. That's BOBBYCAPUCCI at protonmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at BOBBY_CAPUCCI. The link that I discussed can be found in the description box.